Hello and welcome to Module 3, in which we talk about infections. In this workbook, we're going to talk about an introduction to microbes, as well as bacterial, viral, and parasite infections. Microbes and infections. Last week, we identified some good tests for finding what may be out of balance or what organisms might be too numerous in your body. Now let's move on to microbes and infections. I'll first give an intro to microbes and talk about infections in a general sense. I'll then break the remaining sections of this module into quick sheets of their own. There will be a quick sheet for each of the following: bacterial infections, for example, Lyme, Clostridia, and Strep; viral infections, for example, mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr, and chickenpox; and then parasite infections, for example, roundworm, tapeworm, and ropeworm. Each quick sheet will have more in-depth information with more than one option for remedy selection. Let's talk about our amazing microbes. As I sit here writing, I'm amazed again at the diversity and wonderful community that lives in just one teaspoon of soil or in a thimbleful of our interior microbes. Here are some fun facts about microbes. Number one, microbes can help determine whether certain drug components are toxic for your liver. Number two, our microbes weigh in at about 3 to 4 pounds as compared to our 3-pound brain. You could say both have incredible influence on us. Number three, there are 2 to 20 million some microbial genes in our bodies, as compared to only 20,000 some human genes. Microbes help digest your food, some by stealing genes from the food itself to help you digest it. Microbes may determine if your quote-unquote diet works. Microbes quote-unquote school your immune system. Microbes can influence your behavior. Microbes cycle nutrients both in us and the environment. Think carbon and nitrogen cycles. Microbes can clean up toxic chemicals in water, leaving it clean again, and they can even eat oil and are used in oil spills. Microbes affect our health in both obvious and subtle ways. Okay, so let's talk about some microbes basics. All living things can be classified under three basic different organisms. Number one, bacteria. These are single-celled and simple. DNA is not stored in a nucleus, and there's three main shapes: rods, balls, and spirals. And they move with hair or tails, quote-unquote. Number two, archaea. Single-celled and simple. DNA are not stored in a nucleus. They're similar in size and shape to bacteria, and they move in similar ways. Archaea DNA is different from bacteria, though, allowing them to live in extreme conditions, like deep in the GI tract, or in salt flats or hot springs, deep sea vents, soil, seawater, or extreme cold temperatures. They live on unique food sources like sulfur. Number three is eukaryotes. They're more complex. They have DNA contained in a nucleus like our human cells. Our cells and many microbes are eukaryotic, like parasites, yeast, and fungi would fit into this category. Then there's viruses, which are classified somewhere on the edge of life. They're tinier than even bacteria and archaea and are made up of only DNA and RNA inside a protein coat. They're also not active until in contact with their host, where they inject their genetic material, infect, and reproduce. I've linked in the workbook a link to a video by Khan Academy, and I recommend watching it for understanding how they work. Next, let's talk about pathogens and helpers. While there are an unnerving amount of pathogenic microbes and organisms, i.e. those that cause disease and make us sick, there are also many helpful microbes and organisms that perform tasks for us and protect us. There are helpers in each category, in bacteria, in viruses, in parasites, in fungi. There's both pathogenic and beneficial. Understanding infections and immunity. I'm not sure what to think of all the quote-unquote war and battle terminology we attribute to the way our immune system deals with pathogens. The immune system is intricate, and it's just beginning to be understood. We don't even know yet, for example, all of the mechanisms that viruses use to get in and out of cells, and how many ways they can spread. We only have a tiny and partial knowledge so far. What we do know is that bacteria can double every 20 to 30 minutes. In optimal conditions, one bacteria could become 2 million in 7 hours. And that viruses can use our own cellular materials to make quick work of cloning themselves. And that parasites can make a happy home and feed, spread, and grow in our bodies. We also know that all this is much more likely to happen in a weakened, compromised body with a poorly nourished immune system. Pathogenic bacteria, viruses, and parasites can get out of whack and overpower our immune system's ability, infecting us and making us, quote-unquote, sick. Signs of an immune issue. As with Module 1, I'm including some self-assessment questions. These can be rated with basically the same scale to give you an idea of where you stand. You can rate these questions on a 0 to 3 scale. 0 would be, the symptom does not occur. 1 would be, yes, minor or mild symptom, rarely occurs, for instance, monthly. Number 2 would be, moderate symptom, occurs occasionally, such as weekly. And 3, severe symptom, occurs frequently, i.e. daily. Question number 1, how frequently do you have a runny or drippy nose? If frequent, this may be a sign of chronic sinusitis, which can be traced to the GI system, and a chain of digestive events that cause an increased susceptibility to infection, like low stomach acid and or pancreatic enzyme deficiency, which would cause insufficient digestion of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. This insufficient digestion of food would leave food molecules too big to be digested, causing the beginning of dysbiosis, or abnormal intestinal flora. This leads to a classic GAPS progression. Undigested food particles leads to abnormal flora balance. Abnormal flora balance leads to intestinal barrier compromised. Intestinal barrier compromised leads to permeable intestinal membrane. Permeable intestinal membrane leads to the villi irritated and inflamed. Irritated and inflamed villi leads to more penetrable mucous membrane. More penetrable mucous membrane leads to reduced GALT, or gut-associated lymphoid tissue, and secretory IgA. Reduced GALT and IgA leads to food particles invading the bloodstream and an immune response happening. An immune response would lead to antibody-antigen complex producing allergy-like symptoms, like asthma, or runny and stuffy nose. There's also a connection between chronic sinusitis and numerous antibiotics and chronic fungal and yeast infections. Question 2, do you catch colds at the beginning of winter? Poor air quality of indoor heating can lead to yeasts and mold being circulated, as well as the above scenario presented in number 1. Also, low thyroid can suppress the immune system and make catching colds easier at the beginning of winter. Number 3, do you have a mucus-producing cough? You may need iodine, which can thin secretions. This is also an indication for immune strengthening. Mucus cleans and eliminates, so keep fluids and bowels moving. Number 4, do you get frequent colds or flu? A cold once or twice a year is a good sign that your immune system is healthy and can be used for detoxification by the body. But if your sicknesses are frequent, That's a sign that your immune system needs support, and possibly your thyroid as well. Number 5, do you get other infections like ear, lung, bladder, skin, kidney, etc.? As in number 1, this can be traced back to the digestive system. Allergy-like symptoms, decreased immune function, and increased infections result. Number 6, do you never get sick? Score it like this. 3 would be not in the last 7 years. 2 would be not in the last 4 years. 1 would be not in the last 2 years. And 0 would be sick only 1 or 2 times in the last 2 years. Never getting sick is actually not a positive sign and will lead to an underactive, under-exercised immune system. Number 7, do you have adult acne? This is usually due to allergies in adults. Acne in adults also has a connection to the liver and a need for minerals and essential fatty acids. Blood sugar dysregulation can bring it on also, another reason to stop eating those sweets and candy. Allergies come from the GAPS digestive process outlined above. Number 8, do you have itchy skin or dermatitis? And number 9, do you have rashes, boils, or cysts? Allergies and an immune system in need of support are usually the cause of skin issues like those listed. The skin is one of our largest detox organs, so supporting elimination through liver, kidneys like the urine, and digestive system, the bowels, is key. Note, cysts and boils are the body's way of cordoning or walling off something. Last question, number 10, do you have a history of viral infections like Epstein-Barr, shingles, mono, herpes, or hepatitis, or chronic fatigue? The immune system has been compromised, at least in the past. Viruses stay in the body, lying dormant, until the immune system becomes less vigilant or strong. Keep your stress low and your immune system supported. For a crash course on the immune system, I've linked a video in the workbook. The linked video is designed for kids, but it's a great crash course and refresher for adults too. All right, next steps. Going through GAPS is one of the best ways to build a strong body and immune system. If you aren't quite there and need some support, start with the pertinent quick sheets on bacterial, parasite, and viral infections. Next, in Module 4, we're going to cover the exciting topics of genetics and epigenetics and how you can have a positive impact on your genes. Also included is a quick sheet on genetic testing. Please see the workbook and the module page for resources, further information on bacteria and viruses, and so forth.